We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning. I'm Monica Lovell in the driver's seat. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding, ding. Ready for the fight. But we're not ready for the fight. The fight's already been won. Amen.
Yeah.
We're just ready to celebrate the victory.
Amen.
Amen. Get your seatbelt on because Monica's in the driver's seat.
I like to go fast, so y'all get ready. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can also post it in the comments and send it in a private message through Messenger. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is the Refuge Church. It's now located at New Liberty. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. So this week, y'all, okay, so Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we were blessed with three Jasons. We had Jason Wilhelm Monday. Mm-hmm. We had Jason Mung Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And then yesterday, we had Jason Holland.
Well.
And today, we're going to get a double blessing of Pastor Dwight because he is in the building right now.
I'm in the house.
Following the broadcast, we will have the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight. He will not be in the building. He may be in the building for a few minutes with that, but it's going to be a pre-recording, and it's awesome. Stay tuned.
That's one of those we did it live at Living Waters Recordings. Yes. And then turned it into the Truth Broadcast, and it kind of gets condensed. You know, we take that 45 minutes or an hour-long preach and make it fit into 28 minutes. So you get the condensed version.
You get to the meat of it.
You get to all the meat, none of the bone.
Right on. I think I can remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you're tuned in. And please share. Let's get God's word out, please.
Amen.
And we need it.
Yes, we do.
I know for me, I'm going to be really honest right now. For me, I've been struggling with quitting.
Well, can't do
but
that.
But I know, because I've been taught and equipped, I know that when those things come at me,
mm-hmm.
I resist them because I know that tells me God's got something.
Absolutely.
God's up to something, or the enemy wouldn't be coming at us like this, y'all.
That's right.
And his love endures.
Yeah.
So let's dig our feet, let's put them spikes down and stay.
Amen.
Would you pray to start us out?
I will. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful to you that this is your ministry. You birthed it, you sustained it every step of the way, and you will continue to sustain it. And Lord, anyone who would say that maybe it doesn't have its purpose, it's been fulfilled, Lord God, they're just not thinking about what really goes on. Because your word will never, ever, ever lose its power to transform lives. And as long as your word is going forth, your word is going out, prayer is being made on behalf of your people and those who need you, Father, we know you have purpose and plans for this ministry. And so, Father, we just dedicate this time to you. We're not here to promote ourselves. We're not here to promote this program. We're here to promote you, Jesus. We're here to advertise you to the people who may need encouragement today, who already believe in you. And, Father, we're also definitely here to encourage those who maybe they're looking in from the outside and they feel a little lost and they feel a little hopeless. God, we're here today to offer hope to those who need you. And we would ask, Lord, the Holy Spirit, that you would convict hearts and convince minds, and that you would comfort those that need comforting, and that you would stir up those that need stirring up. And so we just entrust this time to you, and we pray, God, that you just get us out of your way. Let your words be the words that are heard and spoken and received in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title, Shower of Power.
Shower of Power. It'll take us a minute to get to that particular scripture before we do, but we're going to be talking about cleansing. The shower of power. The blood of Jesus is the shower that never loses its power. You know, thank God forgiveness is not a one-time deal. Wouldn't have took me long to mess mine up. You know, in The Chosen, when they portray, you know, Mary Magdalene comes to Jesus in The Chosen, and then it's just a few episodes later that, you know, her past kind of comes and confronts her, and she gets all discombobulated sideways and goes out and does something acting like she was in her old life again. And then she's like, I can't come back to Jesus, you know, and Jesus sends a couple disciples to go get her, and they bring her back, basically almost drag her back. And Jesus just loves on her and forgives her, you know, and it's like, I don't need you to be perfect, basically. I just need your heart. And so thank God that forgiveness is about grace and it's about mercy. It's not, you know, if I could deserve it or earn it, you know, it wouldn't be grace. And if we were perfect, we wouldn't need a Savior in the first place. Now, that is not an excuse to willfully live stupid. Some people use it like that. They're like, well, you know, God knows. Me and God got to understand them. I'm like, yeah, God understand. You need to repent. You need to straighten up, you know, because the wages of sin is still death, period. End of discussion. It's not, well, if you're Christian, then sin has no wages. No, that's not true. Sin is sin, and sin will bring its wages. You do the do, you're going to get the get. So we're going to join the Word this morning. Open your Bible, if you would. The John's Gospel, the beautiful Gospel of John. Listen, if you've never read the Bible before, you say, I don't know what to read. Well, just go read the Gospel of John. That'll get you a good start. You'll get to know a lot about Jesus reading the Gospel of John. So John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Jesus is actually in John chapter 15. He's in the upper room with the disciples on the night of his betrayal. From John chapter 13 through 17, he's in that, what you might know as the Last Supper setting. And he is sharing some of the most important information of his entire teaching ministry right here recorded in John's Gospel. He's talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, how it's the Father doing the works. You guys are going to now go do the works. He's doing all that. And it's like the 14th and the 16th chapter really focus hard on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And then in between, it almost sounds like, well, wait a minute, I think chapter 15 should have been after that instead of in between the two great discourses about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But watch this, and we'll see how it all fits together. John 15, 1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, the true vine. I'm going to just preach it as we go. He wouldn't have had to say true vine if there weren't fake vines. You know, if they're cheap, they're fake. If they're expensive, they're faux. In other words, they're not the real thing. I mean, you can get plugged into a lot of things that seem like they're good. Like some people, you can ask them, you say, well, are you a Christian? And they say, well, I'm a member of such and such church. I'm like, that's not what I ask you. You could be plugged into church and not be plugged into Jesus. Now, I want to tell you this. I believe when you're plugged into Jesus, you want to be plugged in church. I mean, it's just natural. If that's not the case, then there's something going on. There's a spiritual attack going on. Jesus said, I'm the true vine. My Father is the gardener. In other words, he's the one that takes care of it, the situation. He cuts off, don't let this scare you, we'll explain it. He cuts off every branch in me, did you hear that, that bears no fruit. Doesn't say he cuts off the unbelievers. What he does is he cuts off branches that don't bear fruit that Jesus said are in me. Whoa, hang on a minute. Let's keep reading. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now, prune sounds like it's the same thing as cutting off, because you're like, hey, go prune that rose bush. What do we see a guy doing when he prunes? You know, if it's me, I might have a chainsaw. No. But Sharon don't let me prune roses, you know. She get out there with her scissors, nip off a little here, nip off a little there. You know, I'm out there with the tree loppers going, let's get this done. You know, and Jesus, sometimes people picture God like that too, like God's going to come into your life, man, if you opened your heart up to him, if you get too crazy with this Jesus stuff, God will just come in and he just wreck your life, man. You won't be doing anything fun anymore. People that think like that, talk like that, don't know God. I mean, honestly, they just don't. Because, yes, God will come in, and he will come into your life like a wrecking ball, helping you to get rid of all the destructive stuff. But he doesn't come in and just start wrecking things. Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father's the gardener, and he cuts off, in essence, what he's saying, the things that are not productive, the things that are not fruitful to your Christianity. He cuts off, and then he prunes the ones that are bearing fruit so they'll bear more fruit. The word prunes, your Bible might have it. Mine does. Mine has a little footnote by that, and it says the Greek word for prunes also means cleans or cleanse. Now, what it literally means to prune that, imagine he's obviously talking about grapevines. In Israel, that's a big thing. And so these grapevines are up on trellises so they're not laying on the ground in the dirt and the mud where the bugs and the decay and all that don't spoil the vine. But from time to time, because of something, maybe an animal, a person, a wind, or whatever, they're blown out of position. And that branch falls out of its position. And it's laying on the ground in the dirt. And a good vine dresser or gardener will come along and see that branch hanging down there in the dirt where the little foxes can spoil it and where the dirt can get to it and corrupt it, and it could even affect other branches. So if it's infected with the disease caused by contact with dirty things, the father's going to come along, the gardener's going to come along, and that part that's diseased and dead and only produces death, he's going to cut off. But then what about the pruning part? What about the cleansing part? Yeah, he's going to lift that branch back up and put it back in its place, and then he's going to clean it off. He's going to clean it off and put it back. So we're talking about restoration. We're talking about, hey, that branch fell out of its place. It got misplaced, and Father God comes along and picks up, cleans off, and puts back, and removes what's been damaged. It's not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. And it's not something we need to be afraid of. And I'd say this, when Father God prunes us, it's not rough or abusive at all. He'll come and he will point out something, and he'll point it out to us, and then he will help us with it. He doesn't do it apart from our will, though. It always takes our will and agreement for God to work a work in our lives. So Jesus said, I'm the true vine and you're the branches. My Father cuts off everything that doesn't bear fruit. He prunes those that do bear fruit, so they'll be more fruitful. Now watch verse 3. Jesus talking to the disciples in the upper room on the night of his betrayal. He says, you are already clean because of what? The word. Don't lose that. You're clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. You put that up on the wall. I am clean because of the word that he has spoken to me. What word? All his word, but what makes us clean is when there's something in my life that's not clean, and the Holy Spirit comes along and says, hey, you know, that's not going to work, and that's not good for you. And you get in agreement with that, then that word that he speaks to you gives you the ability to get clean of that. You know, it's funny, isn't it, how that's the word? You know, I've been like somebody stand up at a meeting, hey, my name's Bob, you know, I've been clean now for 3 years. I've been what? I've been clean. What does that mean? It means I got free from it. I'm clean. And here we're talking about Jesus making us clean from the spiritual things. So he, now watch these verses. I'm going to read 4 through 11, I think. I'm going to read it straight through. And watch for the word remain, or if you're reading the King James, watch for the word abide. And to abide means to live there. And remain obviously means stay there. It doesn't mean visit once in a while. It means that's where you live at, right? So Jesus said this in verse 4, remain in me and I will remain in you. For no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. That's one verse, and he's already said that word remain four times. Four times. I'm thinking he probably wants us to get that. You know, in your consistency lies your victory. You don't get victory by doing the right thing from time to time. You get victory by consistently walking in the way God wants you to walk. And the more you do it. Now, listen, we are human beings, and we have frailties and weaknesses. And sometimes we don't put the word in, and we don't pray. And even sometimes, man, I've come out of a time of being with the Lord where I felt like my feet weren't even touching the ground when I walked out. I was so pumped up and built up. And all of a sudden, man, boom, here comes this attack of the enemy. And I didn't respond properly. I didn't act like Jesus would act. I got human. I went all human on it, you know. So we have to have cleansing. But if we are consistently remaining in Christ, we're going to get stronger and stronger and stronger and strong and just keep going. There's no limit to the maturity that you can reach in Christ on this earth. You just keep growing, keep growing, keep growing in your faith. Does that mean you're going to become perfect? I don't think so. The Bible's pretty clear about that. But we are being perfected. I'm a whole lot closer to being what Jesus wants me to be now than I was back then. But I'm still growing. I haven't sat down and I've arrived. I'll sit down on my rusty dusty now and enjoy what I've got. You know, Jesus talked about a man who had a bumper crop and decided, I'm going to build bigger barns. I'll just sit down and take my ease. You know what? That's what a lot of people do in their spiritual life. In their spiritual life, they get something that satisfies their right now. I'm good. And then they sit down. They become complacent. They don't continue to remain and grow and seek the Lord. And here's how spiritual things works. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. I mean, we are like leaky vessels of the Spirit. And the key to be full is to put more in than what leaks out. Then you can overflow. But if you're just trying to run on vapors and fumes, you're not going to have victory. And can you go to heaven, you know, being a, I kind of hate to use the word, but I don't have a better one, a mediocre Christian? I mean, I'm a Christian who believes that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, was buried, raised from the dead. They confess him. They truly believe it in their heart. But then they don't do much with it. They don't know the Bible. Couldn't quote you two verses if you held a gun to their head. Maybe they go or don't go to church, you know, whatever. I don't know. But they're not bad. I mean, you know, not bad, bad people, you know. And when you say, hey, do you believe in Jesus? Absolutely, man, I believe in Jesus. Oh, I couldn't tell by the way you were talking a while ago. Can you go to heaven if you're a mediocre Christian? I personally believe, yeah, you can. But why do you want to be mediocre? Because what that does is that opens doorways in your life for the enemy to just wreak havoc. I mean, I honestly believe this. You could be headed for heaven and living in hell. Your life can feel like a living hell on earth. And you can be as saved as anybody else is. But if you will sanctify your life, that means set it apart for God. If you'll let Jesus be your everything. I mean, go to bed with him on your lips, wake up with him on your lips. Think about him all day, read his word, take him wherever you go, and whatever you got to do, he's with you. And be letting him course correct you constantly. See, there's no condemnation in Christ. But if you think he doesn't correct your direction, then you miss the point. That's what the pruning is. The pruning. And then Jesus is saying, hey, when the Father cleans you and puts you back in your place, now you need to remain in me. Don't fall down the dirt again where you just got picked up out of. Now this time, Jesus is saying, remain in me, remain, remain, remain. And he said, because no branch can bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine. In other words, you're never, ever going to be able to do it without that remaining, abiding presence of Jesus in your life. Amen. So four times he already said it in one verse. Let's read verse 5 now. He said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Well, I know that that's true because I know a lot of do-nothings. And I know that why they're in your spiritual life, if you're literally in your spiritual life, not producing anything in your spiritual life, if your love for Jesus is not causing other people to know the love of Jesus, you're not being fruitful. If you're not bringing people to Christ or influencing people who are in Christ to live for Christ, then you're honestly not being productive. Because what is it we're supposed to produce? Well, here's a question for you. Who gives birth to sheep? Shepherds? No, sheep do. If a shepherd's giving birth to sheep, something's wrong in the barnyard. It's the sheep that give birth to sheep. And the shepherd's job is to see to it that the sheep are healthy so they can give birth to other sheep. Now, take that to church. Are we living our lives in such a way that we're productive and fruitful? What does it mean to be fruitful? It means to give birth, to produce things. So is our life bringing people to Christ? Or are we, I'm going to out you just a little bit, are we that person who everybody points at and goes, well, look at them, they're Christian, they ain't no better than me. Don't be that person. Don't be that person. You don't have to be. You're destined for greatness. And the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and lived in him can live in you. But you can't play baseball using basketball rules. You can't live the Christian life by the world's standard of living. Okay? So Jesus is talking about remaining. So in verse 4, he said, remain four times. In verse 5, he says it again. And now verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, that'd be your own personal choice. You know how I know that? Because Jesus said, my Father's greater than all, and no one can snatch him from my Father's hand. So nobody's going to snatch you out of the presence of Jesus. But you can choose to leave. You say, well, I ain't going to abandon Jesus. I'm just going to go over here and do this thing. Is he going with you? No, he ain't going to go over there and do that. Well, then you're abandoning him. Okay? If you can't do it with Jesus on your lips, Jesus in your heart, Jesus in your mind, inviting Jesus to participate with you, then you shouldn't be doing it. Whatever it is. Amen. So he says in verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that's thrown away and withers. That's what's going to happen to you if you don't abide in Christ. You're going to wither up. You're going to dry up. And if you get too dry, it says branches are then picked up and thrown into fire to be burned. Somebody go, oh my gosh, he's going to send me to hell. Maybe. But how about this? Because that doesn't really line up with the rest of the word. That if you're dried up and you're withered and you're decaying, you know, that he's going to burn you up in hell. There's more than, most of the time when the Bible mentions fire, it's not talking about hell. Most of the time when the Bible mentions fire, it's talking about severe trials. You like severe trials? You like getting put through the ringer? You like being between a rock and a hard place? Then by all means, do your own thing. Don't worry about remaining in Christ. And I promise you, you will go through trial after trial after fiery trial after fiery trial, and your life will feel like hell on earth. Because that's the fire that's going to turn you back to God. God doesn't send bad things into your life. Bad things happen as a direct result of the choices we make and the choices that are made around us sometimes, not always our choice that brings the situation. I mean, like I didn't choose to open the border, right? But it's affecting every single one of us. There are things that people around us do and affects us. But we can be, I'll just give you this verse from Psalm 91. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand. But it shall not come near me. What's it talking about? It's talking about the destruction that's brought all around us. So, boy, if you ever needed to live in the presence of God under the shower of power where the glory spout puts the glory out, if you ever needed to live in the presence of Jesus, today is the day to be doing it. Because we live in, when the Bible says there's going to be perilous times in the end and uncertain times and all that stuff, you can't even begin to think that that is not the reality of the world we live in today. Everything is uncertain. The economy is uncertain. I turned my cell phone on today. It don't work. It's uncertain. I mean, the only thing that is certain in our world today is God, is Jesus. And we have got to have him as the anchor for our souls, and he's got to be our everything. So we're talking about living in his presence and remaining in him. And again, he's already used that word remain, if I didn't miscount, six times. Verse 7 now. If you remain in me, I like this verse really good. If you choose to remain in me instead of getting apart where you're withered up and dried up and get thrown to the fire, if you choose to remain, here's your reward. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you got to retain them. Retain his, when he speaks something to you, you accept it, agree with it, and begin to operate in it. That's what he's talking about. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish. It'll be given to you. That's like God handing you his checkbook. They're all, the amounts are filled out blank, but he signed them all. You say, wait a minute. But here's the deal. You can only use them for what he tells you to use them for. I remember one time there's this friend of mine that gave me their credit card. They might be listening right now. They gave me their credit card to buy airline tickets for them, for me, whatever. It's like, oh, here it is. Here's all the information. Man, I could get on the internet, whatever, and buy whatever. But I knew better than that, right? Well, Jesus is in essence saying all that God has and all of his power is at your disposal. And if you're remaining in me and my words are remaining in you, you're going to know what to ask for and when to ask for it. And when that's the case, guess what? You're going to get whatever you ask for. He's not saying you can ask for a flying pony to fly to a chocolate castle to have lunch, you know. You ask any old whim. He's not saying that. Because if the word's abiding in you and you're abiding in him, you're going to be asking for the right things at the right time. So again, he used the word remain two more times. Verse 8, this is my Father's glory. You bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. Verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. There's another remain. Verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. So you can't say, well, you could, but you'd be deceiving yourself. You cannot honestly say, I'm remaining in Christ, but yet you're not obeying what he tells you to do. You're not living by the word of God, but you're saying to yourself and to other people, oh, I live in Christ. He's my everything. It's like, you know, you're deceiving yourself. That's what's going on. He said, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love just as I've obeyed my Father's commands and I remain in his love. I've told you this, he says. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy be complete. You know anybody that's lacking joy in their life? Might be you, might be your neighbor, might be your family. You know what'll bring joy into your life? Doing life God's way. It's simple as that. It's as simple as that. Even in troubling times, even in the middle of a trial, going through something, you can experience a joy that is not conditional. It has nothing to do with what you're going on around you. But you're in that place, you're going to have to be abiding in Christ while you're doing that. Like the three Hebrew children of old in the book of Daniel, they're thrown in the fire. They're actually not thrown. They're not in the fire. The fire is just around them. They're in Christ. He's walking around in there with them. Nebuchadnezzar looking there says, did we not throw three people in the fire, and yet I see four? And he goes, and one of them looks like the son of the gods. He didn't know that there was only one God. But he recognized this is a supernatural being walking around with those three Hebrew children I threw in there. And it's like there was a bubble around them. They came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. Not a hair on their head was singed. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. The fire couldn't touch them. You hear me? The fire couldn't even touch them because they were under the presence of Almighty God. They were remaining in him, even in the midst of the fire. So in case you didn't count, Jesus used the word abide or remain 11 times in 6 verses. That's a lot. That is a lot of repeating. 11 times he used the word remain in 6 verses. What do you suppose he's trying to get us to do? How about remain? Abide. Live there. Live in him. Because in him is where you get to have that continual cleansing, what we're calling today the shower of power, that keeps the dirt off, keeps the devil at bay, brings and releases joy in your life. So today, make up your mind. I'm going to abide in the Word. I'm going to live in the Word. Monica's known me for a while now. You've never known me to not be living in the Word, have you? I've been living in the Word a long time. I live in the Word. I don't care whether I'm here, there, whatever, vacation, work, whatever. I'm in the Word. And the Word's in me. I got accused by, went golfing with another pastor, and I was quoting scriptures before I would hit the ball. And he goes, "You're cheating." I said, "You can cheat too." You know, it's funny. So I remember one time going bowling with Terrell and Beverly Glaze, and we're quoting scriptures. You can imagine how fun that was. You know, we was having us a hoot. But we quoting scriptures and bowling. And just talking about the Lord. Wherever you go, whatever you're doing, he's there. He's right in the midst of all of it. It doesn't change. That's why some people don't like to be around me. I'm not everybody's cup of tea. Because I don't care what's going on. We're going to be talking about Jesus. It's just how it is. And I'm not trying to brag on myself. That's him. That's him. That's him doing the work. That's him drawing. All we're doing is responding. So we're remaining in him. Amen. We probably got some prayer requests. And we're going to ask. And we're going to receive. Amen.